Well, hi, everybody. And I've done a lot of reading. I always have, whether it be books, magazines, newspapers, and I continue doing that today. And on top of that, in addition to my work here, it's the editor at BloomerBoomer.com, there are a lot of books that come across my desk to take a look at for some of our interviews, because if in case you haven't noticed, many of the interviews we do on these podcasts are of authors who have new books out, and today is no different. But what I was saying is, with all the books that come across the desk, some really jump out only because they're so thorough, well done, easy to understand. And when it comes to strength trainings, it's good to see that the pictures and the descriptions and all of the details that help you be more fit, make the exercise more efficient for yourself, and make it not such a burden, let's face it. The author we're going to talk to, her name is Joan Pagano. Now, she wrote Strength Training Exercises for Women. Joan is the author of a best-selling fitness book. She's an informational speaker on health and fitness topics, and she owns Joan Pagano Fitness. She's in New York City, and she's trained a lot of really well-known people, and she specialized in women strength training since 1988, an authority on some of the benefits of exercise for women's health issues, such as menopause and osteoporosis and breast cancer, as well as strength training through all the decades that she's been working on this. So first of all, Joan, thanks for joining us. I'm really, really excited about it. And tell us, first of all, how you got into this and a little bit more about yourself, but how you got started.
Well, thank you for having me, Andy, and thank you for asking me an important question. I've been in the field, I've been in practice for 25 years and have clients who have been with me, some of them 20 years, but certainly 10 and 15 years. So we've kind of grown old together and we're experiencing issues related to aging together. And I can offer practical tips on how to help someone. For instance, I had a client who told me that she was starting to live with a little a twitch in her shoulder, let's say. And she said, oh, I guess it's just one of those things. I'm over 50 now, so I guess it's one of those things I'm going to have to live with. And I said, not if I have anything to do about it, because there's no reason that you should have to live with aches and pains. Exercise can often help resolve them.
Well, that's a lesson that's gives us all hope, doesn't it?
Certainly. Certainly. There are so many ways that exercise benefits the body as we're getting older, and is appropriate for almost every kind of condition that you can think of, from heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, osteoporosis, postoperative breast surgery. Any condition is helped by a particular type of exercise that is tailored to you, to your individual history, and to the condition that you have.
Well, let me address maybe the elephant in the room, if you will. One thing I think is we all know the importance of exercise, but then the other part is actually doing it. And maybe you can give us some help in, for I know many people, getting out there and exercising is almost as bad as getting up in front of 100 people and speaking. It's agony.
Oh, dear. It shouldn't be like that. I'll tell you, I've been in practice in Manhattan, New York City, for 25 years, as I said. And in the early years, I was mostly in people's apartments on their bedroom and living room floors using minimal equipment. Since then, a lot of the buildings that I'm in have developed beautiful private gyms for the residents of that building. And so we've expanded our repertoire and use machines as well. But the way I prefer to train myself and my background in training people is exercises that you can do at home with minimal equipment that are efficient, effective, and economical. And I think it's important to help people get started gradually. There are so many things, first of all, that we can do in the small moments of our day. I have a whole series of videos on my website of little 2.5-minute snippets of things that you can do when you wake up in the morning, limbering exercises on the side of the bed, in the kitchen while you're waiting for your microwave or your coffee or tea or pasta water. There's a whole series of about five little exercise segments that you can do at the kitchen counter. Moving to your desk, your home office, or your desk at work, there are things that you can do there. And finally, ending up with stretches on the couch at the end of the day. So that what you do is you have established a pattern of movement by moving periodically throughout the day, and that is very important. And these are all exercises that you can do at home or at work with minimal equipment, if any equipment.
Well, then the equipment factor shouldn't be a restraint to moving forward with your exercise program, is it?
Not at all. My method begins with four simple body weight exercises that anybody can do anytime, any place, no equipment required. And these exercises are some variation of a push-up, a squat, a back extension that targets the muscles that run along the length of the spine, and an abdominal compression, which would be an abdominal exercise sort of to work with the spinal exercise for core training. And between those four exercises, you are working eight muscle groups. That's a lot of benefit for simple movements. So within each category of exercise, there is a variation that will work for you. For example, women are often intimidated by push-ups. I think everybody should be able to do some kind of push-up, and you can start by doing a push-up against the wall, where you're standing facing the wall with your arms outstretched in front of you, a little wider than chest width apart, and holding your body like a plank. You want to really engage your core and keep your neutral spine alignment, the little curve in your low back, keeping that so you're getting some core training before you've even moved by holding your body in proper alignment. You bend your elbows and lower your chest towards the wall. This is the easiest variation of a push-up because it's the least amount of weight on your upper body. But it is weight-bearing through the wrist and the forearms, which is very important for women. So if you can do that easily, you can then move to a diagonal push-up, and this is really one of my favorite all-time exercises, the kitchen counter push-up, where now your body is on a diagonal, so you've shifted more body weight to your upper body, so it's more of a strengthening stimulus. And same positioning, arms outstretched, a little bit wider than chest width apart, holding your body in neutral spine alignment, engaging the core muscles, engaging the abdominals, bending the elbows out to the side and lowering your chest to the counter. And then if you want, you can get down to the floor and do a half push-up or a full military push-up. But there's no reason that you have to do that. You will certainly benefit from doing a kitchen counter push-up or even a wall push-up, especially if you haven't been doing anything. And they are simple exercises. They are considered resistance training, the resistance being your own body weight.
And the book is so well visualized to show all of that, so you can, if you have any questions, just refer to your copy of the book.
Yes, the book Strength Training Exercises for Women is, we've offered so much guidance to the reader in that book. So you begin with step-by-step beautiful color photographs of the start position of the exercise and the finish position. Underneath each step of the exercise is a caption that I've written telling you exactly what you should be doing. And then we have little annotations that are little lines pointing to various parts of your body saying keep your knees soft or pull your shoulder blades down and together to stabilize them. And on top of all that, we have a little feel it here circle that we've put over the muscle that you should be keying into when you're working, because sometimes when you begin strength training, you don't have the kinesthetic awareness or the body awareness of where you should be feeling this exercise.
I really like that idea. I'm looking at that here, and I'm pretty much of a fitness buff, and that is a question that I've sometimes had. Okay, what part of this my body am I working right now? And this shows me.
Yes, absolutely. It's very important. And then you can learn what you should be feeling in an exercise, how you should be holding your body, and what you should be feeling when you are in proper alignment, so that you can discern between something that is just muscle awareness or feeling of the muscle working and something that is painful or goes into a discomfort area, which we don't want. We never train through pain.
And I think maybe some of us may know the answer to that, but why is it important not to train through pain?
Oh, that's so funny. Last summer, I was privileged enough to go on a safari in Africa, and I was in this one camp that had boardwalks, and I heard somebody pounding on the boardwalk in the middle part of the day when it gets can get very warm. And he's running back and forth and back and forth on the boardwalk, and I'm thinking, I've got to meet this person. This person is obviously a fitness buff. So I did, and he was a man about in his 70s. And I said, you know, I told him what I did do, and he said, oh, he said, I've been exercising my whole life. I can't live without it. No pain, no gain, right? And I said, well, no, not exactly. We want to protect the joints, especially as we're getting older. We don't want to injure ourselves because injuries take longer to recover from, and it pulls you off your program completely if you get injured. So we want to protect the joints. We want the joints to be healthy and muscles around them to be strong, to stabilize them. We never want to do anything, lift heavy weights, use improper form, use momentum, or do too much too soon that could possibly create an injury in your knee, your hip, your shoulder, your low back, and really pull you off course.
Well, that's a good point. As you say, the injuries heal more slowly, so it could put you off your exercise program for quite a while if you aren't careful.
Yes, we have to be conservative if you do get injured, and hopefully you won't, if you do use a guide like the book Strength Training Exercises for Women, or you get some professional guidance from somebody local to you. Hopefully you'll get some orientation towards proper form before you begin. But if you should get injured, the important thing is to allow your body to heal completely. You'll only do more damage if you try to go back to an exercise program too soon before the injured area has completely recovered.
Now, in the advertising that we see so much today, where people are trying to get the perfect body and the six-pack, well, you probably don't emphasize that quite as much, but I do see where you have a point where baby boomers can have bikini bodies, so I guess that's not out of the question, huh?
Well, we all want to look better. You know, everybody wants that. I think I would say that for most of the people in my practice over the years, our main concern and focus is health maintenance. We want to be healthy as we're getting older. But nobody minds looking better in the course of your exercise program. And there are ways, there are exercises that can target certain body parts, not to spot reduce, but to spot strengthen. So, for instance, in the book is organized by lower body, upper body, and core exercises. So if you do want to target your lower body, you can pick from that area. If you want to do a full body routine, we also offer useful programs so that you can combine the exercises. And then we even give you routines that we have, full routines that are actually interval training routines that combine cardio and strength training. So that if you don't want to think about a program at all, you can just follow the routine that we've given you.
I see. Now, let's take a situation where someone has just gotten your book and they're ready to begin. Maybe you can just take us through the process of beginning and then setting up a program that you can adhere to.
Easy to do. First, I begin with the four exercises for life. Some variation of a squat. If I were to give everybody one exercise for life, it would be a squat because it's the most functional movement that we need throughout life to get up from a seated position, up from a tub, up from the toilet, up from the floor. We need strength in our lower body to perform that movement that we need in order to have a certain quality of life. So everybody needs to do a squat, but again, there are four variations of a squat that you can do. One is a simple wall sit where you sit against the wall and you slide down, keeping your knees behind your toes, until you start to feel your quadriceps in the front of your thigh burning. And that's a good feeling. You know that muscle is working then. That's a very easy variation of a squat. Then we progress to a sit-to-stand squat, and even my 96-year-old mother, who is in a wheelchair, can do 10 sit-to-stand squats, meaning she gets up from the wheelchair to a full standing position and sits back down. That's a sit-to-stand. And then you progress to a stand-to-sit squat, which is more typically what you see in a gym where you see somebody squatting into a bench or squatting, holding some weights. So that's the next variation. And then you can progress to holding weights. So, again, in doing a squat, there are certain things that you have to remember. You have to reach back with your hips. You have to keep your knees behind your toes. You have to keep your heels anchored to the floor. there will be a forward lean to the torso as you are reaching back, as if you were going to sit down. And then you need to balance yourself by bringing your arms up to the front, but you keep your torso in proper spinal alignment. So again, you're using core muscles, and you use the strength of your legs to propel yourself up. So just learning all the proper techniques of doing those four simple exercises, the squat, the push-up, the back extension, and the abdominal compression, teach you a foundation. Well, first of all, they teach you proper form and alignment. Secondly, they give you a foundation of strength in your body using body weight exercises, so that when you are ready to progress, you can add either stretch bands and tubes or free weights or weighted toning balls or body bars. You can add external resistance knowing that you are holding your body properly and you have a foundation of strength in your body to prepare to do more aggressive exercise.
And so we're talking maybe what, in total, maybe 30 minutes, an hour a day? What would you say?
I'd say it probably is about 15 minutes every other day once you learn the exercises. Our guidelines are that you need to target 8 to 10 major muscle groups of the body. And the major muscle groups of the body in descending order of size are the legs, so they're the biggest muscle group. The back is the next biggest. The chest, the shoulders, the arms, and the core. So you go through the book, let's say, and you pick 8 to 10 exercises, or you go to the useful programs where we've given you the exercises. And then you only need to do one set of 8 to 12 repetitions each, meaning a repetition is each time that you lift the weight or move your body weight. Only one set of 8 to 12 repetitions will develop and maintain strength. So we're talking 8 to 10 exercises. One set of 8 to 12 repetitions. Once you've learned the exercises, you can do that in about 15 minutes. So it is not a big commitment of time, and especially when you're getting started, the consistency is more important than the intensity.
I see. And someone can map all that out in the book and figure out how to go about doing that. Is that right?
We give so much guidance to the reader. The books, this is my sixth book, Strength Training Exercises for Women, and it's a compilation, actually, of some of the best exercises from three of my previous books. And this book is a Bible. It's 200 beautifully photographed exercises. And as I mentioned earlier in the interview, we give you so much guidance in terms of proper form and alignment, but also in terms of whether the exercises are rated easy or intermediate or hard. And so you can say, like, oh, let's say that the easier exercises are more simple, and we progress to exercises that are more complex, that involve more coordination, balance, stability. We use the big stability ball for more of those kind. So you start with exercises that are fairly simple, and then you can work towards more difficult exercises. And within each exercise, there are three levels. So if you're just starting out, it's an easy exercise, you're just starting out, maybe you do 10. If you may be a little more experienced or you're progressing, you maybe do 15 of that exercise, and maybe if you're more accustomed to exercise and have been doing a program, you'll do 20. In other words, we give you the guidelines in terms of how many repetitions or how much weight you should be lifting according to your starting level of fitness.
Now, I know sometimes we set barriers for ourselves or excuses not to do something, and sometimes they fall into an area maybe that could be called a myth. But, for example, are aerobic activities more important than, let's say, weightlifting and that sort of thing? I know you focus on the myths of exercise. Maybe you can tell us about that.
Yes, there's a lot of outdated thinking about strength training. And by the way, strength training is one component of a well-rounded fitness program, the other two components being cardio and stretching. So cardio, stretching, and strength training are the three components of a well-rounded fitness program. But strength training is the most confusing and the most intimidating, and people are afraid, women especially, that they're going to bulk up, that they'll get bigger doing strength training. But the fact of the matter is that strength training actually helps reduce weight. It's great for weight management because it builds the resting metabolic rate. It elevates the resting metabolic rate. the more muscle mass you have, and when you're lifting weights, what you're doing is you're developing lean body mass as opposed to fat. You're developing your muscles. You're creating definition. You're making beautiful contours as you tone that muscle and lose any overlying fat. And while you're becoming leaner, a leaner body is a more power-hungry body. We just burn more calories at rest, digesting food, breathing, sleeping even. Even while you sleep, a lean body burns more calories if you have more lean body mass than fat mass. So it's very important for weight control and for losing weight. And in conjunction with the cardio, which will help melt any of the overlying fat overlying a muscle so that you can see the work that you're doing with the strength training. You need both. You need cardio and you need strength training, and you also need to modify your eating habits.
And taking off from talking about leanness and weight training, does a thin person need to build lean body mass by lifting weights?
Definitely. Appearances can be very deceiving when we're talking about body composition, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the difference between lean body mass and fat mass. The scale does not differentiate between lean body mass and fat mass, so you just get a total quantity of your weight. In doing certain kinds of fitness testing, like a body composition test, we are actually measuring the amount of fat, percent body fat, that you have as opposed to your lean body mass. And appearances can be very deceptive because you can see somebody who is lean, who appears to be lean, who's slim, let's say, but who has absolutely no muscle tone, has absolutely no lean body mass. And if we were to do a body composition test with a pair of calipers on that person, we would find that they were over fat, even though they appear to be slim looking. And on the other end of the spectrum, you might see a big muscled football player who appears to be over fat, but if we did a body comp test on him, we would see that actually he was very lean. He just has a lot of muscle mass. So appearances are very deceiving, and just because you're slim doesn't mean that you have good muscle mass or that you're benefiting from all the ways that we do benefit when we do have good muscle mass.
Now, your book, I know, is focusing on women, but I suppose in many ways you can adapt a lot of these exercises for either gender.
Yes, of course. The title was assigned to me by my publisher, and so we are targeting women, but the exercises are exactly the same that I give my male clients, and I might start a man the same way I would start a woman if he hadn't been exercising, with those same four body weight exercises to teach kinesthetic or body awareness, form, and alignment. And then as we progress, the difference would be that the men are naturally stronger, so more often, usually, they will lift heavier weights than women, but we do the same exercises.
And Joan, as we wind up here, could you just give us a few tips, especially for those who may want to be starting this for the first time, and how to exercise and make it worth their while?
Right. Okay. Start with the four exercises for life: a squat, a push-up, a back extension, and an abdominal compression. All of them are in the book. You start with them, and if you never progress beyond them, you will still benefit far more than if you never do them. It takes just minutes a day. You can do them anytime, any place. You can do them around the house or the apartment. You can do them at work. It's so easy to do them, and there really are no excuses for not getting started now.
And once again, where can folks get the book and get a little bit more information about you and how to exercise better?
Great. Thank you for asking. Definitely, the book is available on Amazon and all major retailers like Barnes & Noble. You can learn all about, there is so much free information on my website, all about those videos, or there's a whole series of videos about the exercises that I was describing earlier, at-home exercises for everyday life, those little vignettes of exercise that you can do periodically throughout your day to increase your movement. There's a free ebook. There are free articles. Everything is there for you to use. www.joanpaganofitness.com.
Okay, and one more time, the name of the book is Strength Training Exercises for Women by Joan Pagano. Joan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.